Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, everyone, no, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome back to Going In Raw. Going In Raw. The only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to
this whole day is
right here,
verging
YouTube,
on an absolute train wreck.
YouTube.com/Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe notify button and the subscribe or download button on your podcast app. Make sure you're always getting new
notification bell too.
Yeah, somebody was asking us about Going In Raw Daily. Yeah, the notification bell. Somebody's asking about Going In Raw Daily in our Patreon chat. So that's why I said Going In Raw Daily. Probably not gonna be back in that format. We've been asked that by a small number of people.
What? No, well, we'll be back in that format on a daily basis. But if there's a breaking
news
story we need to talk about immediately,
we're gonna do that.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, no, I'm fine with that.
I have a pile of dress shirts in my car. Mm-hmm. I'll just have them at the ready.
Are we gonna have like a set for daily? I mean, for Going In Raw short form news.
We got the backdrop right there in the office, you mean?
Yeah.
Just have it ready to
go. The new office. And then whatever our TV is, we'll just keep it ready.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We're going to keep it real.
Whenever there's breaking news in the world of wrestling. But here's kind of the reason why is because, a couple things. It just from a business standpoint, we started doing that for kind of a specific reason.
And it really wasn't working out.
And it didn't work.
Particular sense.
To what we do. We thought, hey, short form content could be a good gateway for people to come on in, understand what we are, and then get more into the long-form stuff. But it really didn't do that. We didn't get any like sub boost or anything like that from it.
Not really. So, actually, since we stopped doing it, we've gotten a pretty decent sub-boost.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Our growth has been better since we stopped doing it. And then, like, for what we were getting financially, it just didn't, like, and what, like, the amount of time we're putting into it. Like, we did, what, four of those a week.
Yeah.
And it ate up about 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah.
Of our week.
Yeah, about six, yeah.
Now we can take those 6 hours.
And do stuff that could potentially be more lucrative.
We could do new stuff, different stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So it's all just a work in progress.
Yeah.
Anyways. I like the format, though. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I think
also now that we're doing the intros to...
Well, that's how I justified not doing it.
Raw, we're getting the little skit type things.
It was kind of news slash skit-y. And now with the We Book Raw, like you said, we get our skit fill. So we're happy with that.
Yeah.
Check out We Book Raw. It's great.
I always talk about SmackDown.
Oh.
We do more plugs, so we don't have to talk about SmackDown.
Yeah, we have a pro wrestling t-shirt.
We do. What's a pro wrestling t-shirt?
Pro wrestling t-shop.
This is there.
Not going to happen.
That's not there.
Yeah, this is a pro wrestling gorilla. We have Patreon. We have 45 amazing friendos. Today we're going to do chat trivia.
Yes, and the post show exclusive for patrons only.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Okay, now we talk about SmackDown.
Oh, man. Boy.
Not a good show.
Yeah, it is spinning its wheels, man. Like, especially with how much fun Raw was.
It's worse than bad. It's bad and boring.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and the writing's not good.
I do not understand. The worst aspect of it to me is understanding what role in the story is Daniel Bryan playing versus what role in the story is Shane McMahon playing?
It seems to change week by week.
Even like I understand that it's part of his character, but to open the show, they did this AJ Styles interview with Renee Young thing, right? And she asked him, do you think Daniel Bryan is playing favorites? And then she asked him the same thing about Shane McMahon. And he said, I don't really want to get into how they think. I don't know how they think because I'm not them, which works from a character standpoint, but it also works from a creative standpoint because there's not a lot of, I don't think there's clarity,
there's zero clarity on
the part of creative. And okay, so the thing about our show is that we try to be positive about things, but more than that, we try to look at it from a critical eye.
Yes.
You know, what's working, what isn't working. We're not going to crap all over the product, but when we say, hey, this is kind of boring, like, these are the reasons. So we're at least doling out some room. I was like, oh, this is crap. It's just, I don't get it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand what's going on with this Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon stuff. And one of the more infuriating things is, for example, when they go So Daniel Bryan is kind of pseudo management heel guy.
Yeah, we can get to into we can talk about the Gable Benjamin.
The Gable Benjamin stuff.
Yeah, that was right there, that little bit between Daniel Bryan and Gable Benjamin, it really kind of encapsulates what's wrong with this whole Shane Daniel Bryan storyline. Because at first,
and then the Shane Daniel Bryan stuff after that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because Daniel Bryan, you Gable and Benjamin gave a really long, but for the most part, pretty good promo.
I like the promo. Yeah.
About how they were essentially screwed out of the tag titles. Daniel Bryan comes out. And at first, he says, I empathize with you guys. I understand what it feels like to have something you really want taken from you. But then he said, But now you're insulting management. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I know.
Why would Daniel Bryan identify himself as a part of the management team? I know he's a general manager. I get that. Nonetheless,
he's always positioned himself.
It was just 2 weeks ago he's telling Shane that's become Mr. McMahon and abuse his authority.
He's always positioning himself as...
It's kind of like an everyman that happens to come into this job where he has some say in the product.
Well, I'm on the side of talent. I want to give everybody opportunities, the kind of opportunities that were supposed to have been denied me by management.
Yes.
So if he can bridge that gap and be...
And at first, that's what it seemed like it was going to be, where it's like, okay, I understand what you're feeling right now.
Right, exactly. Empathize with you. With the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn stuff.
Yeah, same. But with Gable and Benjamin in this sense. But then he pivots directly to this whole, well, you're insulting management and I'm management. Referees are...
Representative
are proxies out there. And I'm like, okay, that's an odd pivot. And then he just pivots to... The rest decision is final. You don't need the whole management aspect of it inserted in that promo whatsoever. He can just say, I understand your position, but the policy here in SmackDown is, unfortunately, I have to tell you, referee's decision is final. Unless they're doing this weird kind of quasi-heel Daniel Bryan thing right now.
Yeah. So he makes a stipulation match, a best 2 out of 3 falls match for Gable. Man, I'm skipping ahead, but this is kind of...
Well, it's
same, all for our point.
Same thing that happened to AJ last week where... Chad Gable says, "What you want us to beat? You want us to beat the Usos twice in one night?" And Daniel Bryan goes completely over the top.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
at Royal Rumble they'll get the 2 out of 3 falls match against the Usos,
which they seem to be cool with, and fans should be cool with because
it's gonna be great.
I mean, stipulation matches in general are meant to generate crowd enthusiasm. Oh, it's something kind of different. Oh, it's Hell in a Cell. It's dangerous. It's 2 out of 3 falls. Wow, we're going to see like some, you know, the drama of 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah.
And even Gable and Benjamin were like, okay, that's a challenge that we're willing to accept. They weren't like, oh, this is crap. This is crap. They were like, okay, good. We got a rematch, which is an odd reaction from a team that obviously through their initial promo in the night, 5 minutes earlier, were cutting a heel promo.
Yeah.
And so then Daniel Bryan goes backstage and Shane McMahon's there and Shane McMahon starts questioning Daniel Bryan's decision for making a 2 out of 3 falls match.
When Gable and Benjamin lost and Shane was saying, why did they even get a rematch in the first place?
Because there was controversy all over it. What is Shane's role supposed to be here? Is he supposed to be? It's not even a matter of me needing to understand, oh, this guy is a bad guy and this guy is a good guy.
I just want clear motivations and see those motivations played out on camera.
Exactly. I'm fine with gray area characters in terms of, okay, so for example, the way we've been describing Benjamin and Gable up to this point, up until they cut an obvious heel promo on the crowd, because at that point it's, okay, they're bad.
Yeah.
I'm okay with them, you know, if they're going to be tweeners. I mean, we've called them tweeners. People who aren't really, who... You know, they'll run somebody down, which is not really a babyface thing, but then they'll win legitimately. Mm-hmm. You know, they got screwed out of the titles last week. You know, they have a good position to make, which generally is a face thing. If you're standing on the moral high ground,
although 2017 was the year of heels that made good points.
That's a good point. You're a face that makes good points.
Thank you.
If your audience is confused by the motivation, that should be crystal clear.
Yes.
The motivation should be crystal clear. And there is nothing that's crystal clear about this. And so it's difficult to emotionally get attached to the story that's being told.
Yes.
Without really...
It's not compelling in the least right now. It's not compelling storytelling. It's not compelling television. Because after, going back to that backstage segment where Shane confronts Daniel Bryan about making the tag match, and then he asked Daniel Bryan, are you okay? Are you all right? You know, he says, what's the word he used? You seem a little...
Unstable, I think.
Unstable.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan fires back. It's like, who are you to talk?
Yeah.
You've been, you know, going after Owens and Zayn essentially for months now. And then it's kind of ended, well, agree to disagree. They shake hands and that's it. It's like,
yeah,
it's I appreciate simmering tensions, but this is already gone. I feel like well beyond that.
Yeah,
that there's no escalation week after week.
Right,
to any
exactly.
Of this. It's just more of the same.
It's the most bizarre case of spinning wheels.
Yeah,
because it's one thing to have like the same matches every week or whatever. Or Dolph Ziggler, for example, spinning wheels when he was every week coming out doing the same, you know, mm-hmm. non-entrance mm-hmm. thing or mimicking entrances. But it's when they're when the storyline needs escalation week to week, which this does.
Yes.
And you don't get it. It's just weird.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's not weird fun or weird train wreck. It's just weird boring.
There's nothing compelling about it.
When nothing happens in 2 hours of TV, you ask yourself, why am I watching this? I know. What was the point of this episode of SmackDown?
And there wasn't one. You have some of WWE's top talents involved in this storyline. You have, I almost said Shane McMahon, but that's not the case. AJ Styles, Kevin mm-hmm. Owens, Sami Zayn, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
They're great. They're all great talents. They're all great doing with character work.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like week to week, they're given different stuff to work with.
Yeah.
There's no through line in terms of motivation, goals.
Right.
None of that.
Right.
Because like if Daniel Bryan just cares about opportunity, then he should send to Gable and Benjamin, all right, I empathize with your point of view. You know, you kind of got the short end of the stick here. It wasn't like they cheated. It wasn't necessarily their fault. They took advantage of a situation and they thought they won the match.
Yeah.
I understand that. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah. And if you really want to prove yourselves, beat them twice, yes. 2 out of 3.
And then he pulls the management card.
Yeah.
It's like, where is that coming from?
Yeah.
Just 2 weeks ago, you were giving to Shane about being management.
Yeah. It feels oddly overwritten and underwritten.
Yeah.
And when I say overwritten, I kind of mean like the writers might understand what the motivation is, but they haven't executed it to the point where we understand what the motivation is enough to, it just seems muddy. It mm-hmm. just seems,
mm-hmm.
it seems clumsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's convoluted.
It is.
But then, yeah.
It's convoluted and boring, which is weird.
It's convoluted and boring, but also at times in terms of motivation, it seems underwritten. So you wouldn't think that'd be, narratively, it feels convoluted.
I get the feeling that
in terms of motivation, completely underwritten.
Daniel Bryan might have gotten his script and been like, okay, I'll do what I can.
Well, that's what, like the end of that bit where he does the completely over the top, that's it.
Yeah.
And then walking out, he was doing his yes thing, but it seemed like he was mocking it almost.
Right, yeah.
Like he realizes this is garbage.
Yeah.
Being handed.
What was it last week when he doled out the handicap match with AJ Styles? I was mildly intrigued.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, well that's kind of interesting. They're kind of doing this heel thing, but then this week it was just all over the map,
mm-hmm.
and yet wasn't. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It was
same with Shane at the end. Yeah. You know, like Owens and Zayn were trying to find a way out of their handicap match at the end, and so he comes out and restarts the match twice.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is a face move because you have two heels trying to get out of, I guess, their comeuppance.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still vindictive.
I know.
Shane's still being vindictive.
There hasn't been one. And you know what's funny, man, is that you go back to our predictions for Survivor Series, and what did we say? The only way SmackDown is going to get some storylines out of this
is if they won.
Is if they win. And they didn't. And that launched into this whole weird, convoluted, you know, oh, now Shane hates Sammy and Kevin, and he's going to punish them, and Daniel Bryan is on their side, but he's...
But not. He can't play favorites, but he kind of is.
He can't really play favorites, but then there's AJ Styles.
And in this opening segment, you have this, when Renee Young asked AJ, do you feel that Daniel Bryan is playing favorites? And the crowd starts chanting yes.
Right, yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
Do
yeah
Daniel
yeah.
Bryan's yes chant.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure if that's the reaction they want.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they want. I really don't.
I don't either.
It's really confusing.
I have no idea.
I really like this. I really liked AJ's performance in the interview, though. Man,
yeah.
He comes off as so like natural.
Yeah, he comes off as very genuine.
And like when he gets a little heated with his accent, he comes off a bit like Stone Cold.
Yeah,
and it's very endearing.
Saw that promo for Ride Along where he drops a perfect what? It's perfect. Sounds like
at
if
this
you
point,
your eyes,
yeah. At this point,
if you
it's not surprising.
Your eyes, you would have swore that was Stone Cold.
Yeah, I have to watch that.
Yeah, he's getting interviewed by Renee Young. She asked, you know, how do you feel about what happened last week? And he's like, yeah, I guess. Essentially, it's like, I can't have second thoughts about it because it happened. I made a mistake.
Yeah,
he said something sarcastically, yeah. And Daniel Bryan took it literally.
Yeah.
Made the match. It is what it is. Life's not fair. Good.
No phone.
Life's not fair, so that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks it sucks,
mm-hmm.
but he'll deal with it. Mm-hmm. He'll win. He'll retain the title at Rumble.
Right.
Out comes Owens and Zayn, rubbing it in his face, doing the yep stuff.
This was kind of interesting, too. I mean, this is the one. This they did answer this particular question.
Yeah.
They announced that they would be co-holders of the WWE
when
title.
When they won at the Rumble,
when
they would
win
be
at the
co-holders
Rumble.
Of the WWE Championship.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. If Roman Reigns or Finn Balor wins on Raw, and they do, and Finn doesn't declare for SmackDown immediately anyways, is there a chance that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn can pull this off? Do you think they might pull the trigger on that as co-champions just to give SmackDown something to do for a little while mm-hmm. they figure out how to get Nakamura in there?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like they could,
yeah, they could
win that.
I don't think it'd be...
Although there something,
I mean, well, like what would be the match at Mania? Be Owens versus Zayn? Would that be the match?
Oh no! For the title
at Mania.
Oh, for the title at Mania, I would think the only way Owens and Zayn are going to win at the Rumble and be co-holders, which I could see maybe, but there's a caveat to that, is if AJ gets it back within the next couple weeks
mm-hmm.
after that.
Mm-hmm.
The only caveat is, they love to declare after the Royal Rumble that we are now officially on the road to WrestleMania. And at that point, usually they usually have
the champions in place.
The champions
last year, that wasn't
in
the case
place. When
Cena
did Gold-
beat Cena? Well, no, both the titles change hands.
Okay.
Between the Rumble and Mania.
When did Goldberg beat Owens?
Fastlane.
Okay. Okay.
And then Elimination Chamber, Bray got the belt off Cena.
That's right. So, yeah, maybe. I mean, it's possible. Because I could see that. I mean, that is one thing that I can kind of see is them.
They've announced for Fastlane, I guess it is, the main events. They advertised. They haven't announced it officially. That the title match at Fastlane is a Fatal 5-Way with Styles, Owen, Zayn, Nakamura, and Orton. I think.
Okay.
I think that's five.
Hmm.
That's what being, of course, it could change, but that's
advertised. Usually, yeah, those are usually, but I mean, it's a good.
And of course, advertising AJ as a champion, but that could always change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, if Vince figures out that day that he wants to change, it'll change.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get that image in your head, and they at some point, angles need their punchlines,
mm-hmm.
and that would be the ultimate punchline for this yep movement thing, is them co-holding the title,
yeah,
which could be kind of interesting. They don't right now, the WWE title isn't on the level of the Universal title. Whenever I just saw this today, Triple H and Stephanie gave away a title to somebody, I forget who it was, for their work in something,
mm-hmm.
and it was a Universal title.
Oh, okay.
So
usually when sports teams win a championship, they send them
the WWE title.
Yeah.
Yeah. They might be transitioning that to the mm-hmm. Universal title. So I don't know. I think they're starting to view that as like their big title. I mean, Brock Lesnar has it, and it's on Raw, so of course they do.
Yeah. Anyways, after Owens and Zayn say, you know, we're going to be cold holders of the WWE Championship, Shane McMahon comes out, complains a bit about Daniel Bryan making the handicap match at the Rumble, and mm-hmm. says, well, tonight we're going to have a handicap match of our own.
Mm-hmm.
Owens and Zayn against Styles, Orton, and Nakamura.
Yeah.
Shane walks back at the gorilla position. Daniel Bryan's there. It's tense.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan essentially says, it's a good main event you booked tonight. And Shane says, or he extends his hands.
Mm-hmm.
They shake hands. That's it.
Yeah. It was just, it's...
It's awkward.
It's awkward and not like, I don't know, it's just, I'm not into it.
No, I'm not either.
Say, I'm not into
it. Not into it either.
I'm not into the Sami Zayn saying yep thing either.
Well, that's all he does.
I know.
There's even more to it.
Is that... I don't know. I don't know if that's job well done, Sami Zayn, or if that's they really need to find something else for him.
I know.
I mean, I like to be. I don't know. That's just it's just annoying.
Well, I was telling you before we started, I don't really find any of the heels on SmackDown terribly menacing.
Yeah, right.
I guess Baron's the closest, but you know, you can just roll him up and beat him.
Was Baron on week's episode? He wasn't.
No.
He was nowhere to be found.
I should say in the singles division, like Bludgeon mm-hmm. Brothers are menacing. In the tag division.
You know what's funny is that I still find it hard.
But those huge hammers are so cartoonish that it's hard to really take them that seriously.
It's a couple things for me. So understanding, I think it's this for me with the Bludgeon Brothers, understanding that the WWE is pushing the crap out of them, I find them menacing. Their aggression in the ring does make them a bit more menacing. But at the end of the day, I just sort of see Owen and Harper and Rowan in like some goofy cane type outfits, kind of, and
with huge plastic hammers,
right? I know. Exactly. And so I'm like, it's just a, it's like a very rebranding is so much difficult, more difficult these days, because it's like you just you associate these guys so much with that one thing that they did.
Yep.
And then to sort of like not even reference it. I don't know. And then to try to make them look, oh, look, they're in there with the Ascension. And look at Harper towering over Connor or whatever it was. Yeah. And I'm like, you never said that before.
No.
Anyways, let's see here.
Next, our first match of the evening, Becky Lynch versus Ruby Riott. I was kind of confused when Becky Lynch came out and they announced her. And then Charlotte and Naomi came out.
They had their own entrances coming out with her.
Is this a six-woman tag match?
Excuse me. I mean, you're on there.
And then I realized, no, they're just going to hang out ringside. But usually when they do that, they don't have the full entrances for each. Did you notice Naomi's awesome coat that's got the lights in it?
Crap, no, I didn't.
Oh, it's so amazing.
I need to start paying more. Because I feel like every week you talk about Naomi's entrance. Oh,
that,
pay attention.
I guess it's like, you know, that's like when you were a kid, you go to something and they had those toys with the fiber optic lines that had the lights at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It looks like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, you know, fake fur.
Mm.
And but it's all lit up. That's and cool. It moves. It's crazy. Out, I want to get one of those.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're expensive because it seems like it's really.
What would you even do with
high
that?
High tech stuff.
Where would you go with that?
This orange hoodie.
Out the door.
Give me the light up.
I don't know if we could do that, man. That's too much.
No, it's not too much.
People be it so, is amazing. They'd be so like just
it
watching.
It is
that.
Amazing.
All right. Well, you got to do what you got to do, I guess. Becky Lynch gave a pretty decent. You know, I'm not a huge fan of these promos that they do with. Like,
no, I'm not either.
I like the Becky Lynch one though.
She's a good promo.
She's charming as hell.
Yeah.
She could talk. She could just read the names in the phone book, and I'll be like, oh, she's so charming.
Yeah, she's a really good promo.
So I'm cool there. Anyway, she said she's going to be in the Women's Rumble. Not a big surprise.
Yeah.
Really anyways,
does seem like they're not going to have title matches at for the women's division at Rumble.
It's feeling that way because yeah, sure. I mean, dude, yeah,
because like yeah, everybody on SmackDown save for Charlotte has declared. I think,
yeah, telling you, man, they got to do the dual.
No,
thrones.
I like that idea.
Dual thrones.
I like that idea. I think there should be a face off immediately.
Alexa
after Rumble.
In one, Charlotte in the other,
and then the winner declares.
Yep.
Anyways,
how about just a like a cam on them, like a GoPro on them in one of the, you know, fancy suites.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just sitting there on the couch enjoying popcorn together.
Okay, that's good. Get stuck popcorn. In their teeth.
Had some popcorn at the Kings game the other night.
Yeah, how was it?
It was good. I thought it was okay. Dad poo-pooed it really bad. He said, how's the popcorn? I said, it's not bad. And then he took some. He's like, no, it's not. Sorry, Dad. I don't want to tell you, man. He's a connoisseur, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Ruby Riott tapped out to Disarmor. That was kind of surprising.
You think that was surprising?
Somewhat.
I don't know. They're treating the Riott Squad like crap.
No, in that sense, it wasn't surprising at all. But I just, if it was Sarah Logan or Liv Morgan, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Oh, yeah.
But I was surprised it was Ruby Riott.
Man. Yeah.
Oh. It's not a going to draw podcast without my phone falling in my pocket.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not surprised. It's Ruby Riott. Like, I love her to death. I think she's
really
great.
Good.
I just don't, you know, again, there's not a lot of clarity there. I don't know what it is with SmackDown. I don't know what's going on. Do they allocate all their writers to Raw?
Seems like
to
it.
To craft perfect episodes?
It seems like it.
And,
everything SmackDown was doing right beginning of this year,
and then like
Raw is now doing.
They just put their production intern in terms of, you know, in charge of writing, and it's like, look, I appreciate the confidence you place in me, but I'm not looking to be a writer. I'm not a writer.
And then Road Dogg says, oh, you didn't know? Your head writer
now
is SmackDown.
Your head writer is SmackDown production intern.
Anyway. Next, speaking of Bludgeon Brothers, we saw Bludgeon Brothers take on the Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't much of a match.
Yeah.
Squash match. Bludgeon Brothers go over with their finisher.
You know what I would really love for this feud?
Or one of their finishers.
I would love some character interaction on behalf of the Bludgeon Brothers.
Because
they're just sort of there. They're just this wall that they keep on throwing Breezango and the Ascension at to get, you know, squashed or whatever. And the Ascension got squashed this week. And I want some measure of them interacting with the whole Breezango Ascension thing.
Yes.
Like at some point are they going to say, hey, we'd like to not be fighting some variation of these guys
yeah.
at some point.
Yeah. Or even just some interaction amongst themselves other than Harper slapping Rowan. That's the lone character development we've seen with these two.
You know what really bums me out, man, is that we never did get... Remember when that one video, like it was a Fallout video of Harper
yeah.
saying, you know, my wife and kids are here, something like that?
Yeah.
I just wanted that Harper.
I know.
You know?
I know, just normal Harper.
Dude Harper.
Dude Harper. You.
Hey, watch Stephen Larson Books Raw. I might get it soon.
Next match in the U.S. title tournament.
Oh, here's some positivity. You'll yeah. get some positivity from us here.
Zack Ryder versus Mojo Rawley. Bobby Roode came out to sit ringside.
Again, he got a full entrance. And again, he was in his robe. Man, put him in a suit.
I know.
When he comes out of ringside, put him in a suit.
Unless he's going to wrestle, put him in a suit.
My sleeper favorite mixed match challenge team is Roode and Charlotte.
Yeah.
They are so... I would love for them to be... I know Rude's married, you know, happily married. Charlotte, I don't know what her situation is right now. But I would love to see them as an actual couple. They are cute as hell together. They're doing the dueling robes thing.
Yeah,
he was trying to wear her robe.
I saw that, yeah.
It was really adorable.
Yeah.
This entire mixed match challenge thing is adorable as hell.
I know.
Did you see the Sami Zayn, Becky? Yeah. Oh, that was so good.
I know.
That was so damn good.
I like they're approaching it as if it's outside of canon.
Yeah, I know. I love that.
Just letting the wrestlers' natural personalities.
And what do you know? It's compelling and rich and great.
And endearing.
You'd think they'd learn their lessons at some point with that.
So.
Let them be who they are.
I know. Not.
And then craft stories around that. Not going to happen. Anyways, this was cool, man. Zack Ryder versus Mojo Rawley.
First round.
The last match of the first round, the U.S. Yeah. tournament. The winner, of course, like you said, is going to take on Bobby Roode. I kind of figured going into this, Mojo was going to win.
Yeah.
And
he did. That running forearm type deal.
Yeah, man. I just feel like maybe his ring attire needs to be a bit more menacing.
Yeah.
But he does a really good job being menacing, man.
Yeah, he does.
At the end.
He's beginning to be really menacing.
He was staring into that you know, red light on the camera
yep.
right there.
Yep.
And they did a good slow zoom close up on him.
Yeah.
Then Bobby Roode comes in.
Stare down.
No smiling from Bobby Roode. Yep. That was nice.
Very serious.
I feel like maybe he's reached out to management and been like, can I just not smile as much? Just
tone it down on the smile.
Can I tone please. Down the smiling?
Could be.
Just because something's glorious doesn't mean it's going to inspire smiling.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily make you happy.
You know, if I see something that's glorious, I'm more like this.
It's like the gif of Hugh Jackman from The Fountain. You're in awe.
Oh, yeah, you're in awe, exactly.
That's what it is. Next, Jinder Mahal promo.
Jinder.
This was great because, speaking of slow zooms, it was one shot, slow zooms. By the end of it, it was an extreme close-up of Jinder's face.
Again,
it was great.
Again, something I really loved about this episode. Jinder Mahal just talking.
Mm-hmm.
I know, people. I know. A lot of you out there in the comments run down whenever I talk about Jinder. He talks about Jinder. I love me some Jinder.
I like Jinder, too.
He says, I'm going after a new prize, the United States Championship.
At the end, it's close up with him, and he's just...
Yeah, man.
I so love sure face of himself.
Of hey, let me ask great. You something. How much more do you love Jinder after watching that workout video?
Oh, a lot.
Understanding that he's the one directing the workouts.
I know. I want him to be my personal trainer.
Right? Do you think he'd be able to handle it? He'd have to bring it way down
oh, yeah.
for like normals like us.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably do 500 reps of stuff, but it'd be like with 10-pound weights.
I don't even know. 500 is a lot.
Let's do it. Let's try.
Because I was doing like I was doing some chest dumbbells, like a press.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, 500. I got to like I think they're like 20 pounds, and I got to like I don't know 30, and I was like, dude, there's no way I can get to 500.
Well, they were doing 3 sets of 50 at each exercise, pretty much.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
So yeah. You do 50 rows, and I guess the other two guys would go, then you'd go again.
Mm.
So you'd get a couple minutes rest. At least by 3 or 4 minutes,
goodness.
Then you'd be fine.
Wowie, wow.
I'll give it a try maybe in a couple weeks.
Next up, we've got...
We talked about the Gable and Benjamin promo at length.
Yeah, so I actually really liked...
Most of it. It was just too long.
I liked the chemistry between mm-hmm. Gable and Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
I really do like them as a team. I kind of wish they would have stuck with them being kind of more tweeners than like straight up heels, because
yeah.
they were just, you know, when you call the crowd a loser, you can't be a face. That's
yeah.
not really, you know.
Yeah.
when they say, what was it, Georgia was robbed or whatever.
Yeah,
it was
not really the national good. Championship
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
But, like, their promo work was good.
No, I thought it was good work.
I don't know if it really needed to be a 10-minute segment.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like they were like, well, they've never really had a good chunk of a promo, so let's take all that time banked that they should have had, and let's just put them out there for 10 whole minutes. Yeah. That was a bit lengthy.
It was a bit long.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, that ended with Daniel Bryan saying, yeah, okay, Usos versus Gable and Benjamin at the Rumble, 2 out of 3 falls match. So it's that tag team match. The T-Bar's getting their rematch. So the tag titles are being defended. We don't know about the Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. When is the U.S. Championship?
The final for that is at the Rumble.
Is that so? The U.S. title is going to be at the Rumble. Okay.
I would be Universal surprised and if Reigns defend the Intercontinental title. I mean, he hasn't declared for the Rumble yet.
That's kind of crazy, though. Like, every title except for both women's titles are going to be defended at the Rumble?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of wonky.
You think at least one of them would be.
Right? I don't know. It's weird.
Next, backstage, Randy Orton, AJ Styles. AJ goes up to Randy and says, you want to talk strategy? Neither of them really want to talk strategy.
Yeah.
They were good. Randy says, well, we're partners tonight. After I win the Rumble. See, he knows he's winning the Rumble.
Yeah,
he
sure.
So he's going after that WWE Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nakamura comes in.
Yeah.
Or AJ says, all right, good talk.
Yeah.
Nakamura comes in, gives the title a too sweet.
Oh.
And says, good talk.
Imagine this faction. Nakamura.
Yeah.
Styles.
Uh-huh.
Balor.
Okay.
Gallows.
Yeah.
Anderson.
Yeah.
Balor Club.
Yeah, with Finn Balor's leader, right?
No, AJ Styles is the leader.
And why would it be called Balor Club?
Well, because he, you know, they named it after him in the first place.
So he should be the leader.
It's legacy. No, it doesn't mean he has to be. He can be the ace of the Balor Club.
But he should also be the leader.
He could be the namesake. He could be the namesake, but it doesn't have to be the leader.
No, he should be the leader if he's the namesake.
Does there need to be a leader?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, why not? It'd be a rudderless ship without
a leader. So Hogan was the leader of NWO.
Yeah.
And he would direct things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'd say, go get that guy. When's the last time Triple H was leader of like the DX after
but when
Shawn
it was
Michaels?
It was HBK and Triple H.
There was
H.
no leader there.
Yeah, but there's only a three-person
faction. Three of them, four with Rick Rude.
Yeah, but he wasn't there that long.
Right. But then when it was Triple H was leader of Post.
Yes, HBK.
And he kind of led things.
Oh, he definitely did.
Yeah, he led things. Farouk was definitely leader of the nation until the Rock
took over.
As leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Every faction needs to have a leader.
There needs to be a leader.
Okada, leader of Chaos.
Well, yeah, that dude is a god.
Naito, leader of LIJ.
Oh, sure.
Suzuki, yeah. leader Makes of sense. Suzuki Goon. See, namesake. Well, Sonata, has to be the leader.
On. Of course, Naito's going to be... Sonata's not going to lead anything. This fool. Anyways, let's see.
Evil or Takahashi could lead a faction.
Well, no, your point about Suzuki is true, because it's named after him. Mm-hmm. So Balor Club, named after him.
Yes.
Yeah.
He would have to be the leader.
Next up, Rusev Day.
This was frustrating.
They declared, oh, I love this. Are you kidding me?
Really?
Oh, are you kidding me? I love this. Because come on, this was on the same level as T-Bar losing to Titus Worldwide. It's okay. Rusev Day is fine. They're not like, you know, as high in the food chain as T-Bar, but they're kind of the samesies. This is a roll-up surprise win.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Breezango needs a win, man.
They need fashion files back on SmackDown proper. That's
you know,
what they need.
You know my favorite thing is, and he's been doing it forever, but I watched it last night. I was like, oh, God damn it. That's so funny. When Breezango and Tyler Breeze when Breezango has their entrance, right? And the entrance is funny enough. But when Tyler Breeze gets up on the apron and lays there with a selfie stick.
Yeah.
And then Fandango comes up behind him. And with zero rhythm, really.
Oh, yeah.
He just starts thrusting his pelvis.
I know. It's great.
With as much violence. And it's the funniest thing because at that point in the music, the beat kicks up a tempo or two.
Yeah.
And he starts just really going at it. It's the funniest thing.
Great.
And he has this big smile on his face the whole time.
It's fantastic.
Oh, God.
See, I like all these guys. And I just feel like Rusev Day is so over. Rusev is so over. They need to start building some momentum for him.
Dude,
I don't know where to go in the storyline.
I know, Breezango needs this. They needed that win, man. And it doesn't do anything bad for Rusev Day. Also, Rusev and Aiden English all declared.
Yeah.
For the Rumble.
They're going to be the Rumble. And the Rusev Rumble.
Via song. Yeah. So that was good. Are we going to get some Rusev versus Aiden English action there?
Probably not.
Maybe. Next up, we had...
we talked about this bit of...
Better Left Alone. Oh, and then we're just straight to the main event, which is a mess.
Tag match and stuff. Yeah, it was a mess. So it was Styles, Orton, and Nakamura against Owens and Zayn. Everybody got a full entrance. What percentage of the show consisted
of
entrances?
They need to just ease up on these entrances. 20%. They're too long.
So Owens and Zayn are getting worked over pretty good. They leave the ring, go up the ramp, trying to get counted out. Mm-hmm. Shane comes out, mm-hmm. says, eh-eh.
Mm-hmm.
Restart the match. No countdowns is what he said.
Yeah.
He meant no countouts.
No countouts. Yeah. Yeah.
They take a commercial break, back to the ring. Match is going on. Owens and Zayn still getting worked over. Orton is on the verge of giving Sami Zayn an RKO. Owens comes in the ring, hits Orton with a chair, gets DQ'd.
Yeah.
I think the match is over because there's like 4 minutes left in the show.
There's three. I'm rolling three, my yeah. clock, yeah.
Nope. Shane comes out again, restarts the match now. This no match, DQ.
I'm going to restart this match now because you can't have a DQ. He's always so like, God, he's always so like.
Dehydrated.
Everything is so clogged up or something.
Yeah. So there's a brawl. AJ goes up to the ramp with a chair, hits Owens with it a couple times. Owens and AJ kind of fight backstage or towards backstage. They disappear. Zayn tries to flee through the crowd. Instead, he is cornered by Orton and Nakamura, and they proceed to destroy him.
Yeah.
Nakamura hits a Kinshasa. Orton hits an RKO. Pins Zayn, gets the win.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a mess. Why is Shane... Like,
Shane's just hovering.
I know.
He's helicoptering.
Man. He is. It's too much.
It's too much, man.
It's way too much.
Oh, you didn't get the packages out of your car?
I can go get them right now.
Oh, man, we're in the middle of the podcast right now. What am I going to sit here looking like a jerk?
You've done stuff in the middle of the show while I've been sitting here looking like a jerk.
Do you want to go get some packages?
I mean, we, if you want, I can.
You want to go? Well, no, we'll just take them out of your car later. Let's see here.
It's question time.
Answer some questions. Again, I don't want to be...
Someone knocked on your door. See? That's why I told you. I'm going to answer some questions. I got to... Oh. I messed up. That's why we need office space. Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster asks, is Benjamin and Gable over? Can't really tell if I like them or not. I like them. If they're over, it depends on what their goal is for them. I think they finally declared as heels, but it still seems kind of murky. Now we got a barking dog in here. Underdog with heart, Sahil Dillon. Since it happened twice last night, I might as well ask. Personally, Sahil doesn't like it when WWE superstars get jobber entrances, even when the end is obvious, like with Mojo versus Zach. For me, it really ruins the suspense of the match because I already know how it'll end. My question for you guys is, what do you guys think about jobber entrances for non-jobbers? Yeah, it telegraphs the end of the match more often than not.
Jobber, yeah, it does. Yeah, when's the last, have we seen a jobber entrance and the dude won?
This happened in the last year, yeah.
Has it?
Yeah. Club got a jobber entrance once and won the match. I kind of remember that.
Maybe. I want to get some fact-checking on that, though, because that has actually... It's too much of a tell, man. It's too much of a tell.
For a while, I used to make note of jobber entrances. I don't anymore. Jack Dolan, who looks stranger with their hair growing out, John Cena or Randy Orton? For me, it's Cena.
Well, here's the thing about Cena.
I think Orton's hair actually looks pretty good.
I'll put it this way. Well, what's the question? Who looks stranger or worse?
Stranger.
Okay, stranger is Randy Orton, because it's been so long since we've seen him with hair, and we've never seen this hair on him.
Cena looks really good.
Like it's just messy.
Well,
it's weird because it's still really short,
and
but
it's still
just,
thin. It's thin back here.
Yeah, but it's just it feels messy.
Yeah,
which is
like
weird.
Well, he's got hat head. You know, he has to wear the hat when he runs out, takes the hat off, and now he's got messed up hair.
I don't like it.
All right, well, tell him about it.
Broken Steve, would you guys be opposed to Rusev winning the Rumble and fighting AJ at Mania?
Not at all.
No, I wouldn't be opposed to that. It's not like my first option, but I would love that. I'd be into it.
CM Punk finds insulting Power Rank WWE stipulations that you'd like to see utilized in New Japan Pro Wrestling number one 2 out of 3 falls match. That'd be good.
Yes.
They don't do a whole lot of gimmick matches in New Japan. I think they've only had one ladder match. Omega versus Elgin.
Yeah. Hell in a Cell.
No, Beat the Clock Challenge.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Beat the Clock Challenge.
Braun. Would you rather have Finn and AJ feud as soon as they're on the same brand or have them reform the club and have a year-long story of Finn and AJ trying to get Gallows and Anderson on their side, leading to a match at next year's WrestleMania?
Okay, so if I thought at all that the second part would even be possible, given the lack of long-term booking, I would say the second one.
Yeah.
But I'll take what I can get.
Yes.
If they're on the same brand, have them interact, have them talk to each other, and have them feud.
Yes. Tommy T, hey, friendo, so you guys always say WWE has no cool points, and New Japan has all the cool points, but my question is, who has more cool points regarding talent performance? Because, sure, New Japan Pro Wrestling has Kenny Omega, but WWE has Aleister Black, who, in my opinion, is most cool just behind Rusev.
Okay, well, hold on a second. NXT Bullet Club doesn't count.
Bullet Club tops cool in wrestling. Yeah? Is there anything in wrestling cooler than Bullet Club right now?
Well, Aleister Black is pretty high up there in cool points, man.
I agree. But he doesn't have merchandise in Hot Topic, does he?
Yeah, that's not the end-all be-all.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it's just one feather in Bullet Club's cap.
Who's buzziest? Yeah, okay, it's Bullet Club.
It's Bullet Club.
Yeah, it's Bullet Club. Although, World's Cutest Tag Team is getting there.
Yeah.
They got merch in Hot Topic, too.
True.
I'm salty. I just found out they're fighting each other in 8 days. I'm not going to be able to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just in stupid Los Angeles where I could easily go.
Could. Not gonna happen.
Maybe I will do it.
I'd say Jericho's cooler than just about anybody in WWE right now, too. His cool factor is off the charts right now.
Oh, I don't know about that.
He's got a cruise with wrestling.
Come
on,
just because that's cool. What do you think of when you think of cruises? I think of old people.
Legionnaire's disease.
Really?
No.
What is Legionnaire's disease? I've heard of that before, but
it's something that can be spread easily amongst people in close quarters.
Well, I'm not talking about. Does that happen on cruises a lot?
It has happened. Yeah.
Has it?
Yeah.
Scurvy.
It can spread. That hasn't been an issue in like hundreds of years. There was supposed to be like a Legionnaire's disease outbreak in like a while ago in an office building or something like that.
Oh, really?
And I think I've heard about one on a cruise ship.
I'm kind of curious recently. About what Legionnaire's disease is.
I don't remember what it is either.
What are the symptoms? Hold on a second. Who has more cool points regarding talent performance? And yeah, Bullet Club has all the cool points. But yeah.
In 2010... there was a Legionnaire's disease outbreak on a cruise boat.
The thing about Aleister Black is that he's super cool, but you know he's going to end up in WWE on main roster.
I know. And they're going to sap all the cool out of him.
I know. He's going to be a lumberjack, man. He's going to be a lumberjack. I'll never forget Nakamura coming out. Randy Orton doesn't have to come out, but Nakamura comes out as lumberjack. Give me a break. And then they send Finn Balor out there to break up a brawl. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me with that? He should be starting the brawl.
Yeah. I was reading about Legionnaire's disease, sorry.
Hold on a second. This is the best start to a question ever. The Undisputed losing his friendo, James Johnson. I had a dream the other night that I had to job to Randy Orton. I wanted to put on a quick squash match, but he insisted on making it a competitive match. That sounds like a very Randy Orton thing.
Yeah.
He was extremely nice and cool to the situation. Do you have any wrestling dreams of your own you can share?
That's a good question.
I had a really violent dream last night that Mary Tyler Moore blew her head off with a shotgun.
Oh, my God.
It was, and I went down and looked at it. It was so bad. It was a messed up dream, man. And I was like in some hotel in Hollywood.
Wow.
It was weird. It was really weird.
Legionnaire's disease is kind of like pneumonia.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. It's in Philadelphia. There was an outbreak.
Ages affected. 41 and up is huge.
Yeah.
60 plus. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, have you had a wrestling dream?
I'm sure I've had.
I think I have. I can't remember any of them, though. Mm-hmm.
Most of my dreams right now usually involve me going to the gym. Working out.
That's good.
Is that weird?
I mean, it's what you like to do, so no.
No, it means I'm obsessive about it. That's what it means.
People in chat are freaking out about my dream. It was so...
What's the weirdest dream you've ever had?
I don't know. Mary Tyler Moore shooting her own head up with a shotgun. It's pretty weird.
Pretty weird.
Because I saw like it was everywhere. It was so,
did I tell you about the dream I had?
You see the first episode of Mindhunter? When that guy went...
Oh, I know. The very beginning.
Golly.
I was had a dream where my stepfather, who at night turned into a black cat with a blonde Fu Manchu.
Yes, that's the best dream. That is the best dream. That's the best. Number one, that he had a stepdad. Number two, that at night he would turn into a black cat with a blonde,
like
Fu Manchu.
Like a Hogan-esque blonde Fu Manchu.
Oh, that's the best. Oh, man. Oh, here we go. Samantha Brunker. If someone other than The Undertaker was to be given the streak, who would it be from any era? Brock wasn't really there long enough to have a streak. No. He wasn't at every WrestleMania.
Triple H.
Yeah.
And like you just revel in like the golden shovel aspect of it.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that a little bit. I mean, they used to call HBK Mr. WrestleMania.
Yeah, I thought him too, but there was that 4-year gap where he didn't go to any WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's
about
true.
That Triple H. I think probably next Undertaker, he's been the most of them.
Yeah.
I'm speculating.
Let's see.
They gave
here.
Bret Hart a WrestleMania undefeated streak.
This is kind of funny. Wait, what?
What?
Okay, I'm just going to read this question and we can make heads or tails of it. Michael Lint. I was playing 2K18 the other day, and during Finn's entrance, the commentary said the following things. Either Corey or Michael said something along the lines of, quote, Finn has been rising through the ranks like a bullet. To which Baron responds, I think he means, Byron.
Yeah.
Oh, he means Byron. Responds, that is a club I'd like to join. I swear to Shawn Michaels' Backlash 2006 tag partner that this happened.
Wow.
How close do you think WWE will get to saying Bullet Club on TV without actually referring to it by name? The bigger question is, will the WWE ever say the words Bullet Club on TV?
No.
They won't say something like, 5 years from now, they won't say something like, he was one, you know,
oh,
one, the founder of
now.
The legendary Bullet Club.
Yeah, maybe if they're doing like a Finn Balor DVD, perhaps. But on commentary, no, they will talk around it as much as they can. I mean, how many times did Corey Graves say elite, the elite, becoming the elite on Raw this past week?
I'm not sure.
Tons.
I'm not sure what the window is for Bullet Club in terms of like how what their staying
longevity.
Power is going to be like.
Yeah.
Yeah, how long are they going to be cool?
Real.
Yeah, once that real window ends, I could see, because nobody's going to care. I'll put it this way. Yeah, that's what it is. When nobody cares anymore.
Yeah,
they'll refer to it when nobody cares anymore.
I will say this: that in terms of longevity, I think Chaos has been in existence since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So I think so long as they can.
Yeah, but have they been real? They have never been. They've never really been real.
Well, not to the Bullet Club levels, but I'm just saying, in terms of longevity, I think they'll be around.
I wonder if anybody in Chaos just thinks to themselves, man, we've been around for so long. Why hasn't somebody given us like cool merch or anything?
I know.
You know what I mean?
Like a Pro Wrestling Tees, I think there's one Chaos shirt.
Yeah.
Need more.
Get some cool design or something.
Yeah.
Man. What the heck? LIJ's got cool merch.
Yeah, Suzuki Goon has a cool shirt.
Yeah. They need cooler stuff.
No, I agree.
Because their branding is cool.
I know. All right, one more question. We got chat trivia to do.
Uno mas. Official Fahad. Who do you think will be WWE champ first? Hey, Baron Corbin or Rusev?
Corbin. At this rate, Corbin.
Who will be WWE champ first? Yeah, Corbin. I agreed. I agree.
Brian, I think it's Posick.
Okay.
New patron, firstly, thank you for all the content and helping rekindle my love of wrestling. Daniel Bryan doesn't resign power rank. Who you think would be a good fit with current Shane McMahon as GM? Who would be a good fit with Shane McMahon as GM should Daniel Bryan not resign? Oh, resign, not resign. Resign.
Natalia. No. Gato.
Pete Gas.
One more question.
Joey Abs.
Who's the other guy?
Rodney.
Rodney is the right answer. R. Alex Smith. or Lightning Zan. I don't know who he wants to be referred to as. But he's a new patron, so I love him.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Zan. With the mixed match challenge coming up, do you think this will be one and done for men and women being in matches together? Or is this them testing the waters for possibly having more mixed matches in the future? Thank you. I think if they did more mixed matches, it'd be another mixed match challenge a year from now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know. Storyline-wise, I mean, if it works, I'm not sure how often it'll really work in storylines, though.
When we start finding out what kind of numbers it's doing on Facebook, then we'll probably have a better answer.
Yeah, if it does, like, huge numbers, even if it does huge numbers, they'd probably just schedule another one 6 months from now instead of a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'd all of a sudden see an explosion or, like, it's a mixed match division. Yeah.
All right, Steve, it's time for chat trivia.
Chat trivia.
Let's start with classics.
No, this is just trivia.
Oh, sorry.
Chat trivia is in our post show.
I always get so excited about that.
Where everybody gets to
We'll start with classic. I will begin. Who did Andre the Giant defeat in a $15,000 body slam challenge at the first WrestleMania?
Big John Studd.
Yeah.
Who did Rowdy Roddy Piper face in a boxing match?
Mr. T.
Very good.
While Marty Jannetty never won the World Tag Team Championship with Shawn Michaels, who did he team with to win the title in January 1994?
Ooh. One, two, three, kid?
Yeah.
Nice.
X-Pac!
What Hall of Fame tag team won their first WWE Tag Team Championship by defeating the Nasty Boys at SummerSlam 1991?
Demolition.
The Legion of Doom.
Oh.
What a rush. What a rush.
Superstar Bio.
Superstar Bio.
When former NWA champion Kerry Von Erich joined the WWE in 1990, what state flavored nickname did he go by?
The Tejas Tornado.
Yes. Ooh, perfect card for Steve.
Perfect card. Perfect. Superstar Bio. What superstar made history in November 1997 by appearing in episodes of Raw and Nitro on the same night?
It was Rick Rude.
Very good.
Who forced Triple H to tap out in the main event of SummerSlam 2012?
Who forced him to tap out? Who? Triple H?
Uh-huh.
2012. Wow, that was late. 2012. John Cena?
Brock Lesnar.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Big events. What WWE authority figure surprisingly defeated John Cena in a match at Over the Limit 2012?
Authority figure, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Over the Limit 2012?
Mm-hmm.
John Laurinaitis.
Very good.
There we go.
Yeah.
Jogged memory banks for that one. The runner-up in 2004's $1 million Tough Enough Season 4 went on to win... Sorry, what runner-up in 2004's $1 million Tough Enough Season 4 went on to win the WWE Championship in 2010?
The Miz.
Yeah.
Championships. Who cashed in a Money in the Bank opportunity to face John Cena for the WWE Championship at ECW One Night Stand 2006.
RVD.
RVD.
What original member of the Nexus was kicked out of the group only to rejoin the WWE team that faced Nexus at SummerSlam 2010? Yep.
Daniel Bryan. Superstar Bio.
Ooh, if I get this, tie.
Well, you get this. What former world heavyweight champion is known as the Punjabi Playboy?
Oh, that's a great Khali.
Very good. Wrong, Jinder Mahal.
Oh, damn.
Anyways, Hilton, can we get some out music, please? Thank you, Hilton. And thank you, everybody, for watching. We really appreciate it. Leave your comments in the comment section below.
Yes.
And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.
Hilton, out.